I was like, oh, y'all stand up here, huh? Okay. I like to get to the edge. Well, good morning, Redemption Hill. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kanan Parker. I'm one of the pastors at Pillar Church in East Fort Worth. And for the last year and a half or so, Pastor Jim and I have been sort of auxiliary elders for Redemption Hill here. And today we get fired. And it's a beautiful thing as we get to install two godly men. And this morning, we had the distinct honor and privilege to lay our hands on Matt and Sean. There you are, on Matt and Sean. To have them come alongside your pastor, Brad, to be the shepherds that men is the shepherds that God has called to lead this people closer to Jesus. And so I want to talk to Matt and Sean directly. You're not there, so I got to pretend like you're here for a lot of this sermon because you're way over there, okay, bro? Y'all can, for the rest of you, please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. And I want you guys to be kind of a fly on the wall as I talk to these brothers. First Peter chapter 5. While you're turning there, have either of you, Matt or Sean, ever had the privilege of being told by your parent or your guardian to watch your little brother or your little sister while they went off shopping or something like that while you were a kid, and how much your palms started to sweat because your little sibling was bad? And you know what I'm talking about. Maybe they're not bad, okay? They're young and mischievous maybe, and your palms got a little sweaty, and there's a little fear in your heart because you know that this is a high-stakes situation, because if little Johnny gets in trouble, you get in trouble. And so you start putting in extra work, and you start off being real heavy-handed. That's how you start. Like, no, you can't leave this room. In fact, you got a square foot of about, you got about 5 square feet to be in. You got to go to the bathroom. That's too bad, right? And then you start to figure out how to monetize the situation. And you, Mom, Dad, you know, I should probably get paid for this. That's a good idea. You could teach me how to be fiscally responsible. And then, you know, as the years go by and you get asked by your parents to watch these little siblings of yours, you start to have a sort of an ownership over those siblings. There's like a love for those siblings. You actually care. You're not so much worried about the smoke from Mom and Dad that you might get if they get in trouble. You're more so concerned about their health and their well-being. And you go out of your way to serve and love and give to this little knucklehead, the person who you used to have fear of watching. Now you can't wait to watch because you want to influence this young person. You want to lead this young person. There's something in your heart that changes. It shifts over time. And it's similar for those who have been called by God to lead his people. You start with sweaty palms. And then when you realize that sheep go astray easily, you start getting heavy-handed. And then you start thinking, I don't get paid enough to do this. And over time, your heart starts to shift. It starts to change. It starts you start to fall in love with the people he's called you to serve, the people who he's put in front of you. And me, as a fellow elder, get to exhort you this morning on this very task of shepherding God's people. Some of what I will say will be from experience. Some of what I will say will be from the text. Hopefully, by God's grace, it will all be biblical. And I want to exhort you this morning from 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, it says, I exhort the elders among you. This is God through the Apostle Peter exhorting the elders of the churches that are abroad, and he's also exhorting us in our churches today. That word exhort means to urge. It means to implore. It means to call. It means to instruct with earnestness. Peter uses a heavy word because it's a heavy situation. I exhort you, hear me, please. I beg you, listen to me. It says, I exhort the elders among you because this is a high stakes situation. And there's nothing higher than the eternal destiny of men's souls. Nothing higher. He says in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. He's saying, beloved, I understand the smoke that you're about to get into. I'm there with you. Listen to me. As he lists his credentials, he doesn't just say as a fellow elder. He also says as a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. This is what he says. Verse 2. Look at verse 2. This is your commission. This is your task. Shepherd God's flock among you. Notice whom the flock belongs to. This is not your flock. This is God's people. This is God's flock that you have been called to shepherd. Now, we got to be careful not to allow the imagery of the word shepherd to be lost on us. So I want to just illustrate a little bit of what a shepherd does, what they look like. A shepherd tends to, raises, and leads sheep. He's responsible for feeding sheep, shearing the sheep, protecting the sheep. Shepherds are dirty. His shirt is dirty from helping the sheep navigate rough terrain. Beloved, a shepherd's eyes are weary from always being on guard against predators and threats against the sheep that he's been called to watch and protect. You may not know this, but a shepherd sometimes has wounds. He has bite marks on his shoulders, his arms, and his legs. Because there are times when the very sheep he's been called to love and care for bite them. You don't learn how to be a shepherd from Shepherding 101 theory class. The role, the task of a shepherd is learned twofold. It's honed and it's observed. Firstly, it's honed on the pasture. You learn some of this as you shepherd, as you love, as you care. You learn the art of shepherding. But before you should ever step foot on a pasture, you should firstly observe the good shepherd and how he's tended and cared for his sheep. When I coach kids in football, I always tell them that your success in football is going to be twofold. It's going to be twofold. I call it F2, film work and field work. Now, it doesn't matter about how skilled you are. It doesn't matter how connected you are. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. You'll have no success in the game of football without field work and film work. And it's similar as to shepherding. If your eyes be not in the instructions of God's word, your eyes be not laced with the scriptures that Jesus has left us to instruct our sheep, and if our bodies be not present amongst the sheep in the pasture, we will fail as shepherds. We'll be something else, but not shepherds. Matt, Sean, I want to call you to keep thine eyes intent on Jesus. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Don't let any man's comments shift your eyes from the King. Because if you be not observing him, your shepherdship will reflect your own selfish ambition. Just as much as you keep your eyes intent on Jesus, keep your hands close to the sheep. Your hands should have the dander of the sheep you love all over them because you're constantly caring for them. You see, when stuff starts to go down in the lives of people, you're going to need your eyes intent on Jesus, which means the word of God ready, and you're going to need the trust and love of the sheep because your hands have been in the mix. You know, sheep, they don't just follow anybody. They follow the voice of the one who's loved them and cared for them. And if you're called to be God's people, God's shepherds in this place, yet your hands, they're not familiar with the feel of your hands and the sound of your voice, they will not follow you. Now, admittedly, shepherding God's flock has many nuances to it, but the overarching goal of shepherding God's flock is to lead them where God wants them to be. That is your goal. Get them to where God wants them. God wants them close to Jesus. God wants them biblically nourished. God wants them spiritually and physically protected. God wants them tenderly loved. We are to lead the people of God closer to Jesus and each other. You get that from Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4. We are to feed God's people God's word. We get that from Matthew 4 and 2 Timothy 4. Beloved, we're also to refute false teaching that will unduly influence God's people. That could be from cults. That could be from harmful worldviews. That could be from value systems. That could be from misguided influencers. Whatever your people's trusting in, if it not be Jesus, your job is to redirect, realign their eyes to the Savior. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. We're to call people, his people, to holiness. 1 Peter 1, 15. We're to love our people with our presence, in our prayers, in our preparation, Acts 6, 4. We're to bear the burdens of our people, Galatians 6. And we're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4. Beloved, this is a gloriously taxing work. This is why Paul told Timothy to watch his life and his doctrine in 1 Timothy 4:16. Now, beloved, I want to read a scripture for you from Luke chapter 22, when the prediction of Peter's denial. Luke 22, verse 31, this is what it says. Jesus is talking to Simon, and he says, "Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat." Okay, so Satan wants to hurt Simon. And then Jesus says in verse 32, "But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail." This is instructional for all of us, because I want you to realize this one thing, beloved. As God's shepherds, Satan wants you to die. He wants your life. He wants your mental health. He wants your financial situation. He wants your heavy-handedness with your children. He wants your wife. He wants your job. Because there's truth to the adage that if they kill the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Make no mistake about it, beloved. The warfare for a shepherd is real, as it is for any other believer. Our eyes have to be open to that reality. Satan wants to sift you like wheat, Sean. Matt, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But then we take heart knowing that our King has prayed for us, and he prayed something specific, that our faith would not fail. And that is the same prayer that you're to perpetuate over your sheep, that their faith may not fail. Because just as much as he attacks you and tries to lead you astray, beloved, he's doing the very same thing, Pied Piper, to all your people. That their faith may fail. You lean on the prayer of Jesus and you imitate the prayer of Jesus. He says, Peter, in verse 1, he says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed." Verse 2, "Shepherd God's flock," next two words, "among you." This has given us a theology of proximity. This is why it's important to have a robust church membership. Just as it's impossible to accurately fulfill the one another, the biblical one another's from a distance, right? It's almost impossible to do that. In the same way, it's impossible for you to shepherd sheep who are not among you. As soon as your eyes lift to desiring to be more than the shepherd of your congregation, of your flock, your selfish ambition will be revealed. God has called you to this people under your tutelage in this place to love. Those who become members of a local church are those who desire to be led by the shepherds of that local pasture. But you know what I've learned over a couple years? Is that everybody wants to be led until you start leading them. And so anticipate difficulty in leading God's people closer to Jesus. Sometimes where God wants them to be and where they want to be don't exactly align. And that's where your teachings of Jesus and your hands with the dander of their own hair, fur, what do they have? You can tell I'm not a shepherd, right? Your hands full of their dander comes into play. Because you can lean on the years of love and service and care and sacrifice. The text says to lead them in this way in verse 2 and 3. Not overseeing out of compulsion. That means you should not feel forced to do this by any means. But willingly, the text says, this is something that I would do for free. This is something that I can't wait to do. I'm excited to do. I love to do. Willingly, not compulsion. If you feel compulsed to do this, stop. But if you feel like this is what you need, you were built to do this, then come on. It says not out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. It says not out of greed for money, but eagerly. I think we all come from a similar tribe. I ain't trying to get rich out here. But this one is hard. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Lording it over means to be domineering. Lording it over means to point people in a direction and on a path that you have not travailed yourself. A domineering, lording it over leader says, go that way. But a biblical shepherd says, follow me as I'm headed that direction towards Christ. Once you travel the terrain that you're calling your people to travel, beloved, you have trust in them. They see you walking it before they walk it. Now you can say, follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, right? A good leader, a good shepherd says, come, come. This is the way. A domineering leader says, go. It's over there. They lay loads on the people, but they themselves don't lift a finger. This is what the scriptures say. Sean, Matt, I want you to know this, that your life will make as a compelling case for the truth of the gospel as your words will. Your talk gives clarity to your walk, but your walk will lend credibility to your talk. And so as you call people to follow you, be the real deal. A gentle, repenting, Jesus-loving man. You don't have it all together. Don't pretend to. Repent in front of your people. Teach them. Confess in front of your people. Show them. Kill shame in front of your people. Shame will have no grip in this place. The people of Redemption Hill will always find better preaching than any you three could ever provide this place. They're going to find better counselors. They're going to find better biblical scholars and teachers. They're everywhere. Turn on the internet. You're going to find the best preaching in the world by some dude somewhere. It's not here. And neither is that your aim. Even as your people will find these things and look at these things and see these things, never forget these particular truths, that God has uniquely built you to shepherd this flock. That God has specifically called you for such a time as this generation lives in. that God has commissioned you, not them, and is ever equipping you to tend the sheep that are among you. Let me let you in on some insight. Those gifted preachers and teachers out there, they'll never be there to cry with your people, but you will be. They'll never be there when tragedy strikes, but you will be. They'll never be there to chase your wayward sheep, but you will be. They'll never be there to bury your people or their loved ones, but you will be. They'll never be there to celebrate with your people, but you will be. They'll never open up their lives as examples for your people, but you will. They won't be there to fast and pray for the salvation of your people, their children, and their loved ones, but you will. They won't be at the hospital bedside of your sick people, but you will. They won't receive those 2 a.m. calls of suicide attempts and adultery and hardships that your people will undoubtedly endure. They won't be there, but you will. They won't be up all night praying that your people's faith will not fail. They won't be there doing that for you. You're going to be doing that all night, sleepless nights, because your sheep need their shepherd. And you're trying to get them there. And there's nothing your physical hands can do. You'll have nights of sleepless, restless fasting and prayer for your people. TV preachers ain't doing it, Doc. That's you. That's what God has called you to do for these people. Why will you do it? Because we are the church. We're sinners and sufferers who have entrusted our lives to Jesus, who are redeemed by his blood. The scriptures teach that Jesus purchased us with his own blood. He saved us from the power of sin and the wrath of God. All in the name of love. And he gave himself for people just like me and you. We know what it's like to need Jesus. So we're going to beg that our people's faith may not fail, because they need, not you. They don't need the better sermon. They don't need the biblical scholar. They don't need the counselor. They need the king. And you have to gently lead them there. In the name of love and by the effect of his calling, your job is to tend God's sheep. There's going to be joyful days as well. Days where your sheep's children will come to the Lord. Days when your sheep's mother-in-law, father-in-law, have submitted themselves unto the Lordship of Jesus. It's going to be celebratory days when people see the light of the gospel, that Jesus' love for them is displayed in him sacrificing himself in pure love and joy for the redemption of a people who didn't deserve it. But for his own glory and for the love of his own creation, sacrificing himself on a cross, giving his own life that they may have life. You're going to dance jigs sometimes. And sometimes you're going to have dirges. It's going to be one heck of a roller coaster, bro. And it's hard. And it's amazing. And the stakes have never been higher. Matt and Sean, do you love Jesus? Rhetorical.
Get it.
Feed his lambs. Do you love Jesus? Shepherd his sheep. Do you love Jesus? Feed his sheep. John 21. This is going to be an amazing ride. Your wives will need to pray for you. And you will need to lead them. Your people will need you to pray the prayers of Jesus, that their faith may not fail. Don't go a night. Don't go one night not praying a like prayer for your people. You give Satan this much, bro. He's crowbarring that thing wide open. Paul told his people, watch their life. He told Timothy, pastor of Ephesus, watch your life and your doctrine. And so I tell you the same thing. Watch your life and your doctrine. This is the last thing Peter says. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Matt, Sean, as a fellow elder, I pray for you. And I thank you for firing myself and Jim today. And we ask that you would lead this people with integrity. People, sorry I didn't look around. It's not normal. I'm looking at these guys. Your job is to be easy to lead. Knowing that these men love you, care for your soul, and only want to point you towards Jesus. Your job is to be transparent to these men. Your job is to follow them insofar as they follow Jesus. Your job is to follow their leadership, love their families, and allow them to point you in the direction in which you should go.